The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Brandon Tatum is a 7-year veteran of the Tucson Police Department. He's a YouTube sensation with over 2 million subscribers. He started Blexit with Candace Owens, and now he's tackling his biggest assignment yet. This is the Officer Tatum Show.
All right, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. The number to call into the program, if you'd like to be a part of it, is 844-900-7243. Again, that number, 844-900-7243. Man, I've got a lot of news to get to in the first hour. In the second hour, you're going to want to stay tuned for that. And not only that, you're going to want to line up with your calls if you like to ask any questions regarding the Idaho murders. The number to call in, 844-900-7243. Of course, you can feel free to call in at any time during the show, and I will get to your call as soon as I possibly can. 844-900-7243. So Dr. Curry Myers to join us in the second hour. In the third hour, I'm going to talk about a little bit of, I want to talk about the SATs. I want to talk about social justice and equity, something that's been happening with the SATs. Actually, SATs have been disappearing as a lot of students prepare for colleges to go to college or universities. I'm going to tell you why that's a very, very bad idea. Very, very bad idea. Torrential rain has triggered flash floods all across California. Listen, I watched a video earlier of Ellen DeGeneres, and she was showing, she showed this stream that runs behind her house, and typically the stream is just really, really slow, really calm. This thing looked like the Colorado River raging. So pray for the people inside of California, and understand that this has nothing to do with man-made climate change. Isn't it funny? Because this is what I hear the left talking about already. That's the excuse. It isn't that California absolutely does nothing right now to catch a lot of their rainwater and reservoirs so that they can use the water for farmers and stuff like that. But this is Mother Nature. This is Mother Nature. It has nothing to do with man-made climate change. I'm so sick of hearing that. Ellen DeGeneres said in her video, she implied it. She said something to the effect of Mother Nature is trying to tell us something. Yeah, Mother Nature is trying to tell you that no matter how many liberal policies you pass in the state of California, you can't do anything to stop. You can't do anything to stop natural disasters. It has nothing to do with you, but people need to virtue signal. People need to feel a sense of morality. And that's exactly what's happening with lefties like Ellen DeGeneres. And I'm sure she's a nice person. But I can't stand when people imply that. I will say this again, pray for the people that are affected by this storm because it has been horrendous. A lady lost her 5-year-old son. The only thing that they were able to hold on to is his shoe as he was swept away. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine that. But I get so sick and tired of these lefties in a place in California, a state like California, where they go to the umpteenth degree, my home state, they go to the umpteenth degree to talk about man-made climate change, which is global warming, by the way. And yet all of these disasters continue to occur, and they're going to continue to occur. The fires are preventable because you guys could clear up, those of you in California, there's a lot of underbrush that could be cleared up. They want nothing to do with it. California Forestry Management, they won't do anything about it. So you guys are continuously tortured by the fires out there. And I really feel bad that you guys have lefties in charge and you got to do something about it. Guys, I want you to understand that when it comes to the left, I want you to understand they're mob bosses. They're mob bosses. And I'm going to go into why I say that. But first, I want to give props and respect to Diamond. Diamond Lynette Hardaway of Diamond and Silk. I know many of you that listen to Officer Tatum's show, I'm sure you guys are familiar with Diamond and Silk. They are hilarious. They are hilarious. These are ladies that, if I recall correctly, worked together. Their sisters worked together. You know, just had your average everyday job, just getting by in life. They supported President Donald Trump. They blew up on social media. He embraced them. They embraced him, so on, et cetera. But they were the epitome of common sense when it came to politics. Obviously, they were black conservatives. They were funny as all get out. They did not hold back. They were willing to be confrontational conservatives. And Silk, her sister, is still alive, obviously. Apparently, over the Thanksgiving holiday, Diamond got really sick and just never got better. I don't know the entire story here. But anyway, the left has gone very nasty talking about her. But here's what some Twitter accounts said. The world just lost a true angel and warrior patriot for freedom, love, and humanity. Please respect the privacy of Diamond's family. Hardaway, alongside sister Rochelle Silk Hardaway Richardson, gained internet celebrity through their YouTube channel, espousing support for former President Donald Trump during his 2016 presidential campaign. The pair were among his favorite supporters on social media, and they regularly appeared at his rallies and other events. The former president paid homage to Hardaway in a True Social post celebrating her life. He said, and I quote, "Really bad news for Republicans and, frankly, all Americans. Our beautiful Diamond of Diamond and Silk has just passed away at her home in the state she loves so much, North Carolina. Silk was with her all the way, and at her passing, there was no better team anywhere," President Trump said, "or at any time. Diamond's death was totally unexpected. Probably her big and precious heart just plain gave out. Rest in peace, our magnificent Diamond. You will be greatly missed." And indeed she will. Common sense, funny. The common man represented the common man more than just a black conservative, an American, a patriot, a fighter that represented the common man. The left couldn't stand her. And that means that she was doing what God called her to do, in my opinion. So I just want to give props to her. I'm so sorry, Silk, for the loss of your sister, Diamond. My heart truly goes out to you and your family. God bless all of you. And I appreciate the inroads that you guys made when it came to conservatism and blacks in this movement of conservatism, more blacks embracing it. And it's thanks to people like Diamond and Silk, no doubt, Officer Tatum, Larry Elder. You guys know all the big names, but Diamond and Silk are certainly among them. So God bless you guys for what you were able to accomplish. And I really do feel bad for that. All right. So I want to talk to you guys about confrontational conservatism. Confrontational conservatism. I'll be in again tomorrow. I'll be in tomorrow morning on Mike Gallagher. I hope you'll check me out then as well. I may speak about this some on there too, but I would be remiss if I didn't talk about what we saw transpire last week with the House of Representatives and Kevin McCarthy, because I got to be frank with you, and I'm still hearing some ramblings of it. I was severely disappointed in some conservatives that I heard that called the 20 that stood up for you and I a bunch of clowns, and all that they did to cause chaos in the House. They made Republicans look like fools. They embarrassed the Republican Party. You know it's embarrassing to get beat by a senile old man that is corrupt as hell named Joseph Biden. That's what's embarrassing. You know what's embarrassing? When the economy is in the tank, when you have foreign policy that is a complete and utter disaster, and you get defeated by a guy named Joseph Biden. You know, it's a disaster when our military is so concerned with being woke and giving people this jab, this medicine that doesn't work well. That's embarrassing. And you have this commander in chief presiding over our military. What's embarrassing is this commander in chief that goes to the southern border, El Paso, a very small stretch of the 2,000-mile border, one of nine locations he could have gone to. And for photo ops' sake, he had the illegal aliens cleaned up like they were a bunch of trash sitting on the sidewalk. And you have a mainstream media that's willing to kiss the behind of the left. And you don't have Republicans going to the border to make noise until it's election season. That's a little embarrassing. What is not embarrassing is a bunch of House Republicans. Thank God I love every single one of them that fought for you and I. To interpret that in any other way is completely asinine, and it's the reason why we as Republicans lose elections. For God's sakes, I don't understand the weakness that exists in the Republican Party. You have to understand who we're up against. We're up against a Democratic mob. And until you realize that, we will not win. We'll be back.
Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go home to use it, it's not even absorbent? It's basically a towel that leaves you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that actually work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. Their six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors. And right now, you can receive a six-piece for only $39.98 with promo code Tatum. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and have their 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece towel set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on a radio listener special, and enter promo code Tatum or call 800-976-8379. That's MyPillow.com, code Tatum. Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I am currently testifying in an expert witness trial, and Carl Jackson got you covered, ladies and gentlemen. Show Carl Jackson some love. Thank you, Carl, for taking over. Let's get into this.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I appreciate that, Officer Tatum. It's an honor to be behind your microphone again. Really appreciate that. Also, Lou's got my back right here in the Orlando studio at theanswerorlando.com. Sean McConnell is in my ear. Forgotten Man is out there somewhere. And who's got the who's covering the lines tonight there, Sean? Zach is on the line. What's up, Zach? All right, so the number to call in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Just so you know who the left is, the type of people that we're dealing with. And this isn't all Democrats. This isn't all liberals, but it is certainly the left and some of the nastiness that goes on Twitter that you'll see if you go on to Twitter. But this is what some of them wrote of Diamond and Silk. Rest in peace, Diamond. Conservatives just lost one of the few black people they can use to pretend they aren't racist. This from somebody by the name of Human Ghost that goes at Apollo in Age X. Apollon Age X. So this person obviously doesn't know that they support the party of the KKK and the Anti-Civil Rights Party, also the party of Barack Obama, who made sure that a talented young black students were not able to go to the school that his daughters went to or her daughter went to. Another one, rest in peace, Diamond, the newest member of the Herman Cain Club. Wow, that's really nice because Herman Cain died as well. He contracted COVID and died of COVID. So that was from Rick Havoc at Rick, R-I-K-H-A-V-I-C. Rick Havoc, such a nice guy. I hope they didn't get the jab, and I hope they don't end up dying of a blood clot. Anyway, rest in peace, Diamond. Her real name, for all of the conservative white folks who only know her as a paid minstrel show gimmick, she sold herself as is Anita Lynette Hardaway. I bet you Trump and most of the right can't even tell you which one was diamond and which one is silk. Here's another one. No vaccine, no sympathy, MAGA trash. This is from Polite Southern Hell at 2 O's at the end. Wow, man, pretty amazing. But this is who the left is. This is who the left is. That's who their voters are. You should also know who Joe Biden is. Hat tip, forgot, man, this from Justin News. When Attorney General Merrick Garland announced November 18th that he had named a special prosecutor to investigate former President Donald Trump's handling of classified documents found at Mar-a-Lago, the government harbored a fresh secret. What was that secret? Oh, Joe Biden had his own secret. Joe Biden had taken documents and stored them at the University of Pennsylvania. Just 2 weeks earlier, Biden's lawyers disclosed to government lawyers on November 2nd. That was just 6 days before the midterm elections. Pause. 6 days before the midterm elections. Is it just me, or is it something about the Biden administration, the Biden family, and the media that don't want to give the voters information that is prescient to making a decision on who's going to lead the country? It's fascinating, right? A lot of voters didn't get the information. They didn't know about Hunter Biden's laptop. Very fascinating. And then all of a sudden, the media starts to confirm what we have all known all along, that the Hunter Biden laptop story is indeed a true story. And were it reported on by real journalists at the time, and actually it was by some real journalists, but if other journalists from the left would have reported on the story, it's likely that Biden would not be in the White House despite the cheating. It's likely that he wouldn't be in the White House. Absolutely amazing. It's amazing how they do this. They had found sensitive government documents with classified markings. They were inside an office that Biden used at Penn Biden Center think tank in Washington after he left office as President Barack Obama's vice president. Vice president? Vice president? When does a vice president have the authority to be able to determine what's classified, what's declassified, and take it with them? We also found out from Breitbart that those documents contain information regarding Ukraine, regarding Iran. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. This guy's a mob boss. So a lot of people are talking about this news, and they're telling you the Democrats are a bunch of hypocrites. Stop. They're not hypocrites. These people are a Democratic mob. Joe Biden is a mob boss. And my concern with the Republican Party, and I'll finish up on this story, but my concern is with the Republican Party. You better get used to what I'm calling, what I'm branding, confrontational conservatism. Because if you think things are bad now, things are going to get worse. Things are going to get worse. Do you know why people are rioting? You guys know that people are rioting in the streets of Brazil? I mean, it's insane. You can look at what's happening in Mexico. You can look at what's happening in Brazil. And you can look at what the founders created right here in America. In Mexico, they have complete anarchy at this point. They have the Mexican cartel running shop, right across the border, 100 yards from the border in some cases, just running shop. They control our southern border, the border that was sanitized, El Paso local authorities sanitized for Biden to get a photo op. And even though it was nice that he did get a photo op by Trump's wall, I do love that. But and then you have what's going on in Brazil with the corrupt president, the corrupt Supreme Court in Brazil. You have protesters that are storming the Capitol, storming their Supreme Court. They want justice. They know their elections were stolen. They got a corrupt guy inside of that's their president now. They want it overturned. Absolute and complete and utter chaos. But the reason they got there is because it was little things over time that added up till people revolted and said, we can't take this anymore. And I fear that's exactly what the left wants us to do. We don't have to go that far, and I hope it never gets that far. But we do need to understand that it's time for confrontational conservatism. I'll get back to the story on Biden. Let me circle back to what happened last week as an example. I still hear people calling the 20 people names. They did it for this reason. They did it for that reason. They wanted to increase their star. They wanted to increase their notoriety. They wanted to do all this and that. And this person was legitimate, but Matt Gaetz and this person, it doesn't matter. What matter is the results. What are the results? Motion to vacate the chair. Motion to vacate the chair. So one person, one Republican can stand up and say, listen, this guy, Kevin McCarthy, isn't living by his word. I want this guy gone. It doesn't mean that he's gone just because one person stands up, but they can start debating it. They can talk about it. They can see if it's time to get rid of Kevin McCarthy. By the way, this is something that existed historically for over 200 years. This is nothing new. All they did was go back to the way things were before Nancy Pelosi. I'll talk about more of this after the break. Carl Jackson in for the Officer Tatum. We'll be right back. You know the documents that Biden stole, the classified documents that Vice President Biden stole. You guys know that University of Pennsylvania, at the same time they were setting up his think tank, got a check for $54 million from the CCP? Pretty crazy. Man, this stuff is so damning. It just makes me so tired sometimes. It makes me want to go out and get a MyPillow. MyPillow! Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go home, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels that actually work. I know it's mind-blowing, towels that actually dry you. Their six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with the promo code Brandon. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com right now, click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty, a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on that radio listener special. Enter the promo code Brandon, or you can give them a call at 800-976-8379. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Brandon. Callers, I see you out there. Don't go anywhere. I will get to you. Charlene, I see you. If you want to call into the program, 844-900-7243. Before I go back to what the House accomplished and what Biden was doing, I want to play some audio clips for you. This is your favorite liberal. Actually, probably not, but we'll just say that for the sake of the show. Joy Behar. Joy Behar of The View. This is what you've got to understand. This is very damning news for the Biden administration. Why they're getting it out now, maybe they wanted to get past the election. Maybe they want to let it out before the 2024 election cycle because he says he's running. Maybe that's what they want to do. Maybe they want to sabotage. Maybe it's sabotage. Maybe somebody in the Democratic Party wants to throw Joe Biden under the bus. It's fascinating to me that this is coming out now. But here's what Joy Behar had to say about it in comparison to Trump's raid at Mar-a-Lago. Audio clip number two, por favor, Sean.
Really, I think that what you just said is that there are differences in what happened.
Yes, but the optics are not good.
Well, we all know that Trump is a liar and a thief. You know, we know that. So it's not that big a jump to say that he obstructed and he lied. We don't think that Biden is a liar and a thief, so we give him the benefit of the doubt. That's partly what's going on. But what I think also is going on, no matter what the truth of it is, Whoopi, they will spin it. Bobblehead and Marjorie Taylor and that crowd, Matt Gaetz, you think they're not going to spin this that it's just as bad as Trump? And so the lie gets out there. People believe it, just like that Donaldson person, whatever his name is.
Byron.
What's his name?
Byron
Donaldson. I saw him also. He was at the fight on the floor, too, wasn't he?
He was nominated for speaker a number of times.
By two people. Yeah.
He's the new darling.
One of the 15 rounds.
But, what I'm just saying is that the lying has been so invasive, so ubiquitous, that no one will believe the truth anymore.
Yeah, no one will believe the truth, including Joy Behar. There's no evidence that Trump lied or tried to hide something when it came to the documents that he had at Mar-a-Lago. And by the way, he was president, so he was entitled to take those documents. And then they negotiated with the National Archives, right? They negotiate what the presidents do, what they're going to send back, what they're going to keep, just like Barack Obama did when he kept a lot of documents and classified, unclassified documents inside of a warehouse. They negotiate this stuff. Same with George W. Bush. They negotiate this stuff. This lady has no evidence for any of the stuff that she says, but she spouted off because, sadly, many Democrats are useful idiots. They're useful idiots. But here's what you have to understand. We have to be confrontational conservatives. We have to be willing to fight back with these people. Here's an audio clip of Byron Donalds. As a matter of fact, she was talking about him. Here's what Byron Donalds had to say regarding the regarding a president being the only one that can. OK, we don't have time for that. We'll play this. We'll play it after the break. We'll come back to that after the break. I only have a minute and I'll come back with your calls as well. But let's go back to one of the key reforms. Motion to vacate the chair, meaning any member of the majority party could force a vote to remove the House Speaker. It actually restores what's been a longstanding rule. Nancy Pelosi got rid of it. So now we're acting like it's some big deal. It's some major deal. What happened is you, the people, retain power in the House of Representatives, and a bunch of people on the right even were mad about it. A lot of people that called themselves conservatives were bashing the 20 that literally probably just helped save the country. We'll be back. This is Carl Jackson in for the Officer Tatum.
The Officer Tatum Show.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. You can find my podcast at the Salem Podcast Network, salempodcastnetwork.com, thecarljacksonshow.com, or wherever you get your podcast. If you would subscribe, I would really appreciate it. It's absolutely free. I guarantee you I will work hard to bring you news that no one else is bringing you, stories that no one else is bringing you. Like today, for example, I talked about trans maxers. Have you ever heard of that term? I'd never heard of that term before. But transmaxers are a group of people that are trying to get guys that don't get girls easily to transform into transgenders. It's the most insane thing ever, and it's another tool that the left is using, in my opinion, to attack manhood. So check it out, thecarljacksonshow.com, salempodcastnetwork.com, or wherever you get your podcast. Let me do this before I go back to what happened in the House. And this is something I will remind you of all week because I was shocked. I got to be honest with you. I was shocked, and I'm still shocked, to hear some conservatives that were railing against the 20 last week, talking about this motive, and they were raising money for this and raising money for that. And I'm like, man, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about even a heathen basically preaching the gospel, a fake, a phony preaching the gospel. And then the Bible says, well, Jesus says, who cares as long as the gospel is preached? Who cares as long as the gospel is preached? Ultimately, we're looking for a result. We're looking for results. I don't care about the 20s motives. Frankly, I think a lot of them had good motives. Some may not have had good motives. I don't care. I care about the end result. And this is the problem that we have as Republicans. I forgive me because I don't want to be so harsh. I don't want to be condescending. That isn't my goal. But my goal when I get on air, I feel like I have a responsibility because God has, for whatever reason, he has put this in my heart. We've got to fight for this country and we've got to understand what it means to fight for this country. And it's really easy. Freedom is really easy in this sense. Do you have more power when politicians vote on legislation or do you have less power? If you have less power, it's not freedom, but constantly. It's amazing to me how conservatives over and over and over again will say, rhinos this, rhinos that. We need to fight. We need to push back. 20 step up, courageous, and say, let's fight. This is a time. These fools and the Republican Party sold us out. McConnell, McCarthy. I know a lot of people like McCarthy. That's fine. He's a speaker. Hey, whatever. But I'm glad they got these concessions. McCarthy himself was using money to fight against in the primary candidates that he didn't like. He did it right here in Central Florida. Wasted over $1 million to take out Anthony Sabatini in District 7. Now we have a good congressman, it appears, in Representative Corey Miller. So we lucked out in that sense. But Kevin McCarthy had no business wasting over $1 million, I believe nearly $1.5 million, to take out a congressman here that was leading in the primary until an overwhelming amount of negative radio and TV ads hit us right here in Orlando and in Central Florida. $1.5 million. And then we wonder why the heck we couldn't win the House by astronomical numbers. The minimum should have been 20. The minimum should have been 20. But I digress. We move on. At least we have the House. But what these 20 people did was they made sure that the House is going to work. Controlling spending and taxing. Now, that isn't in the Ruse package, but you have Kevin McCarthy agree to cut down spending. The new rules require a separate House vote to increase the debt limit, which is the total amount of money the federal government may borrow. There was a Gephardt rule that was in place named after Dick Gephardt or Richard Gephardt, a Democrat from Missouri, which deemed a debt limit increase as passed by the House when it adopts a budget resolution. Automatically, the debt would go up. That's gone. You're talking about real stuff that's occurring now because of these 20. And you had 200 that were outraged. Well, no one else is running for speaker. So what? So what? You use leverage to get what you want. These people leveraged Kevin McCarthy, who wanted that job so much, they leveraged him to get freedom for you, and you're mad. And you're mad. Sometimes I'm more concerned about those of us that call ourselves conservatives or Republicans than I am about the Democrat Party. I expect lefties to act like lefties. I expect non-Christians to act like non-Christians. I expect Democrats to act like Democrats. But what annoys the crap out of me are conservatives that will say, Rhino this, Rhino that. Let's fight, let's fight. Oh, it's time to fight. Whoa, wait, back up. What are they doing? Give me a break. I saw that. I heard that across radio. Saw that across television last week. I was in shock. I was in shock. It's like the Stockholm syndrome. We're so used to getting beat up. We'll just take it. We'll accept anything. We just want to know that we're accepted. We just want to know that we're loved. Screw that. I want to know that we're free. Let's take a call. I'll get back into this Biden controversy, this more Biden corruption. All right, let's go to Charlene. Charlene is in South Carolina. We've only got a minute, Charlene, but if we need to go beyond, I'll bring you back. So, Charlene, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. You got the mic.
Please send me back because I got two important points for you, Carl. It makes my
okay, go right ahead.
When I find filling in. First point, I heard recently you have a rabbinic saying, maybe from Talmud, that says when a decision is a consensus and no disagreement, it's not legitimate. It's either collusion or it's corruption. So I thought, well, this encourages me about the contention we had in the Republican Party that people criticized and said we made ourselves look disunited. But the rabbinic view would be no. You showed yourself to be paying attention.
Charlene, hold on. We got to take a break. We'll be right back. In case you missed it, Damar Hamlin has been discharged from the hospital. I had to forget, man. Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin was released from the hospital on Monday following a week-long stay after he went into cardiac arrest. during last week's Monday night football game. Damar Hamlin has been discharged from the hospital and is returning home to Buffalo per the physicians at the University of Cincinnati Health. That did occur yesterday, so he is home receiving more treatment in Buffalo. Let me just say this real quick before I go back to Charlene here. In regards to Damar Hamlin, I do believe that God used Damar Hamlin. Damar Hamlin, sadly, his situation, God works in mysterious ways. United Americans, compare that to Colin Kaepernick or Colin Kaepernick, who divided Americans when it came to Damar Hamlin. You saw Americans and football players kneeling for prayer and not kneeling for protest. He also, in my opinion, helped to make the NFL and sports in general neutral again. And that is big. Colin Kaepernick, in my opinion, made sports unwatchable. I hadn't watched sports for years because of Colin Kaepernick. I was truly inspired by this story, finding out that this young man was such a good guy. All right, Charlene from South Carolina. Charlene, we only got a minute or so left, so I want to address, I don't want you to ever feel embarrassed about being a conservative, and I don't want anyone, don't listen to anyone. I don't care if they are conservative. I don't care if they're a Republican. Don't listen to anyone that tells you what transpired last week was embarrassing. What transpired last week is what I'm calling confrontational conservatism. I want you to understand that the very same thing happened in 2018 when the squad came on board and they won their races. They stood up against Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi thought she would be able to control the squad and some of the newer freshmen and some older ones as well that were just tired of Nancy Pelosi. They didn't want her to be speaker again. And Nancy Pelosi said, basically, hey, listen, you can defy me in the caucus, but you won't be able to defy me on the floor. And they said, oh, contraire, mon frere. And those squad members, those lefties and some moderates, Charlene, were able to get Nancy Pelosi to say, you know what? I'll retire in 4 years. I won't serve any longer than 4 years. They got the same with Steny Hoyer and Representative Clyburn. They said they would have to step aside out of the leadership. And that's exactly what happened. So don't let these people on the right or the left tell you that what happened last week was embarrassing. What happened last week was just the beginning. It is a fight for freedom. It is confrontational conservatism. We only got 10 seconds left, Charlene. I'm sorry. I gapped too much. But I just wanted to tell you that. Forgive me. God bless you, Charlene. We'll be back. Carl Jackson in for the Office of Tate.
Is the Officer Tatum Show.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. The number to call in, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. We're going to take a break from politics just for this hour. We'll return and talk about some of the things that we were talking about in the first hour, including the things that the 20 heroes, not holdouts in my opinion, accomplished last week to give us some rules that'll actually give us a little more freedom or give us the opportunity to establish more freedom inside of the United States. So we'll get back into that, as well as SATs. SATs are disappearing on college campuses. It's a very dumb idea. We'll talk about that. It has to do with social justice, equity, all of that good stuff. But guys, I want to introduce my guest, Dr. Curry Myers. I've had him on my podcast, I would say once, but actually twice. We recorded one day, and for whatever reason, the video went haywire, audio went haywire. He was gracious enough to come back the next day, and we talked about the Idaho murders, and I absolutely found him fascinating. And I wanted to introduce the audience, wanted you, the audience, to know Dr. Curry Myers. I wanted to introduce him to the audience. And we're going to talk about the Idaho murders. And if any of you have any questions, you can call into the program, 844-900-7243, 844-900-7243. Let me give you a bit of his background, and we'll just go through just for the sake of time, and we'll get right to him and start asking some questions. He He's a criminologist, a university professor, and the retired sheriff of 600,000 citizens of Johnson County outside of Kansas City, Missouri. Dr. Myers was also a Kansas State trooper and a special agent. As a law enforcement official, he investigated and responded to more than 100 homicides and supervised the investigations of many more. Dr. Myers recently wrote about his takeaways on the Idaho murders and has done multiple interviews on the case. Again, he is a former retired sheriff. He has a PhD with the MBA, has a combined 35 years of professional experience in law enforcement at the local, state, and federal level, and as a criminologist, and as a professor, and as an executive. Man, Dr. Myers, I could get on and on. I could go on and on. Do you ever get tired of being so smart?
Carl, it's a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you so much, and hello to the audience out there. Happy New Year to all.
Okay, all right. So, Dr. Myers, again, I had you on my podcast, SalemPodcastNetwork.com, TheCarlJacksonShow.com. It was a fascinating interview. I was just sitting there like, dude, I could talk to this guy for hours. I'm going to ask some of the same questions, and with any new revelations that have popped up, Dr. Myers, please feel free to share with the listening audience. But obviously, the Idaho murders gripped America. For quite some time, nearly a couple of months or so. And I remember interviewing you initially, even though we weren't able to send that podcast out because it went haywire, so to speak. I was asking certain questions, and you said, listen, I don't think this guy is going to be as good, and I'm paraphrasing, as you think. And, I mean, lo and behold, that afternoon, news broke of all of just the sloppiness of his work. Thank God. And you were absolutely spot on. Let me start with this question, Dr. Curry Myers. And please tell people where they can find you once you answer as well online and your Substack. But all along, obviously, the police officers were staying quiet about the case. There were a lot of allegations that they were just kind of out of their league, small podunk town, so to speak. They simply didn't know what they were doing. But that was quite to the contrary, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And thanks for the kind words again. You know, when you think of Moscow, Idaho, that is a relatively small town. So the resources there are going to be minimal. But you have to remember that you're going to have organizations like the Idaho State Police. It's right on the border of Washington, so I'm sure there was a joint investigation with the Washington State Police. And then you bring in the elements of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. You're going to have a lot of very, very seasoned investigators. A lot of those state police investigators, we forget sometimes that the vast majority of states out there, about 80% of the departments that serve the public are probably less than 25-person departments that may not be able to do some specialized services. So the state police's play a crucial and vital role in not only traffic safety and highway patrol, but also they have seasoned investigators when it comes to homicide investigations.
Given your experience, what was it that led you to tell me that day, Carl, I think this guy was sloppy. I don't think he's as good as you think.
Well, the original crime scene, when it came across, and I think law enforcement did a pretty good job in keeping a lid on the information as to not get out to the public. I think it's extremely important that you don't give too much information to the public. This is difficult. We live in a hot now, especially with social media environment. Well, everybody wants to know what's going on now. And if you don't know, then you make assumptions that people don't know what they're doing. But I think it's important that law enforcement does not divulge too much information, because quite frankly, if you divulge too much information, a lot of times the only person that may know that specific information may be the suspect, or if there's another person involved in the homicide. So you don't want to be giving out too much information, and then you don't want to be prejudicial. And when you do have to go to trial sometimes, in the future, you don't want to be prejudicial by giving out too information, that could end up, you know, ruining your chances of having a conviction. In this particular case, the crime scene was extremely disorganized and chaotic. I can't imagine when law enforcement showed up at that scene. You're talking about three floors of a crime scene, different crime scenes, quite frankly, blood splatter throughout the house. And it would have been a very difficult crime scene to work, and you would have had to been worried about cross-contamination and, you know, all those things that go with working a modern crime scene. Forensic science has been our friend within even the last, you know, 15 to 20 years. Forensic science has made leaps and bounds compared to when I first came on. And there's no question, you know, compared to 50 years ago, it's night and day. And the technology that we see today with not only DNA, but through the use of telephones and cell cameras and CCVT and all those things that are out there can make working these cases a lot more efficient, and we can get suspects a little sooner. But for me, it was very disorganized, very chaotic. And to me, it looked like something that was probably associated with a stalker and then ended up becoming a rage incident afterwards. Generally, stalkers stalk after one particular victim. And then in this particular case, the suspect who broke into the house.
Let me interrupt you for just a sec, Doc, because this is a very important point. For those of you that are in the listening audience, if you haven't heard my podcast, this is a very important point that he's getting ready to make, because there was an assumption that perhaps he knew one of the people or maybe dated one of the people. That isn't necessarily so. And so now, please go ahead and explain the whole stalking and the rage thing that you were going into, Doc.
Well, stalking is unfortunately, it's very common. And because of the advent of social media, and so many people have a social media footprint, especially those that are younger, and many times their social media footprint is public. And that means that a lot of people can go in and view pictures and things like that. So there, you can have attractions and you can have desires that occur between a stalker and a victim without having a relationship. The stalker may very well believe that they're having a relationship with the person, but it doesn't mean, when I say a relationship, that doesn't mean it's mutual, with the potential victim. So the stalker, and in this particular case, I think there was some, you know, talk that this may have been a serial killer or somebody that perpetrated this crime. To me, the crime was very disorganized and chaotic. And it appeared to me that was crime associated more with rage as opposed to being something that would have been a serial killer. And it's unusual for a serial killer to do a mass killing in addition to that. It's not that they might not kill a couple of people, but it's unusual to have a mass killing that is that.
Doc, we have to take a break. More with Dr. Curry Myers on the other side.
We kneel to God and God alone. The Officer Tatum Show.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. The number to call in, 844-900-7243. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. Before I get back to my guest, let me talk to you about MyPillow. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then you get home and it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels. Towels that actually work. I know it's kind of mind-blowing to know that you'll actually buy towels that dry. Their six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with the promo code Brandon. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty, a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set off MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com. Again, Click on the Radio Listener Special and enter the promo code Brandon or give them a call at 800-976-8379. That's MyPillow.com. Use the promo code Brandon. Okay, I want to go back to my guest, Dr. Curry Myers. And again, extensive experience in law enforcement, 35 years, an adjunct professor at Benedictine College, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, doctor. He's been a professor. All right, been a professor there for 12 years, expert in forensics, criminology, over 100 homicides investigated. Doc, I want to get back to what you were talking about before we went to the break. You were talking about that this killer, he didn't fit the he fits the serial killer profile, but he doesn't. This was more a crime of rage because people see this knife whenever a knife, well, at least me, Doc, whenever a knife is involved, I assume that it's a crime of passion, that this person knew the victim. And in this case, it may have been, we don't know yet, but it may have been that this guy just stalked one of the victims. And in fact, the knife sheath was on top, I believe, of one of the victims, which leads us to believe there was at least one particular victim that he may have been obsessed with.
Yes, that's correct. So let's look at the profile of a serial killer first. A serial killer generally, and this is the FBI profile that they use most often, and the profile is predicated on years of looking at various murders and then compiling data that is similar as a result of those the suspects that occur. So generally, a serial killer is white male, 25 to 34, intelligent, is mobile, is egocentric and deceitful, generally doesn't show remorse and lacks empathy, can be manipulative, shallow emotions, impulsive, but they need excitation, and they need, in many ways, they want to have somebody that they can be mutually attracted to, or they generally have some sort of sexual dysfunctions. It may not always be traditional sexual dysfunctions. And then generally they've had early behavioral problems. And as adult, they usually have some sort of antisocial behavior and don't work very well in groups. And the profile of this particular person is similar. So I'm not saying that at some point, those things couldn't have happened, especially if he would have gotten away with the crime. And now when you think of a crime of passion, generally a crime of passion, or the true terminology behind a crime of passion, is that if you come home and your wife is in bed with someone and you go into a rage and end up killing somebody, that's considered a crime of passion. So that's why this in particular isn't a crime of passion. It's one that's more associated with someone who became a serial stalker to the point of, in my opinion, ownership of the victim, and wanted to be able to have control and ownership in the victim. There's always the chance that that he approached the victim, went to the victim, talked to them in a setting, maybe ran into them in a setting, and the victim or victims may have spurned him or ignored him, which could have set him off. He is a PhD graduate student at Washington State University, which is only 10 minutes away from the University of Idaho. So there's many times where schools were co-share curriculum. And so this hasn't come out yet, but it's always a probability that as a graduate teaching assistant, he could have been teaching one of the victims or more, because sometimes colleges will co-share curriculum, especially at the lower level classes. And if it's a lower level class, then you're going to have a graduate teaching assistant is going to be somebody who's going to be teaching that class for a professor, or at least monitoring that class. So there's always a chance that one or more of the victims could have taken a class from him. I'm not saying that has come out in the investigation yet, but it is something that you have to look at. It's also a reason that he may be involved in teaching, as it gets him the opportunity to get closer to younger individuals and potentially set up potential grooming opportunities with those individuals, because you're in control of them, you're teaching in front of them, and it's easier to establish that kind of control mechanism with those kind of folks. Now, from a knife point of view.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, before I go on to my next question, or before you go on to talk about the knife, just please give out your information. And Dr. Curry Myers is going to be staying with us for the entire hour to talk about the Idaho murders. But I just wanted to make sure that we get your information in so people can find you after this program or during the program.
Oh, thank you so much. So the best way to look up my work is I have a Substack site called Dr. Curry Myers. .substack.com, drcurrymyers.substack.com, and Curry is spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, Myers is M-Y-E-R-S. So drcurrymyers.substack.com. I'm also a signatory, and I'm a consultant in criminology. I'm a consultant for and a criminologist for Americans for Prosperity. And we have a current effort called endviolentcrime.com, where we're focusing on four fundamental things. That's focusing on violent crime, funding for police and appropriate funding for police, evidence-based policing, and smart-on-crime policies. And that's endviolentcrime.com.
All right, endviolentcrime.com. Okay, we only have a minute before the next break here, Doc, but talk to us about what you mentioned something about the knife.
Well, a knife is a very effective tool at murder, so it's something that's not just something that you might see in a crime of passion, but a knife sometimes is a preferred weapon for many people. Some people may not be familiar with guns, but a knife is more concealable. A knife actually has more effective radius in doing damage, and if you really want to hurt somebody, which in this particular case, if it became something where he became personal, had a personal relationship and felt spurned by him, then using a knife would have been able to enact the kind of brutality that one might want to do against somebody who has been spurned by another.
Okay, we only 10 seconds before the break. I'm speaking to Dr. Curry Myers inviolentcrime.com. We'll be back. More with Dr. Curry Myers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I am currently testifying in an expert witness trial, and Carl Jackson got you covered, ladies and gentlemen. Show Carl Jackson some love. Thank you, Carl, for taking over. Let's get into this.
All right. Thank you, Officer Tatum. Officer Tatum will be back on Friday. So you have that to look forward to. Again, my guest is Dr. Curry Myers. He has extensive knowledge in criminology, forensics, homicides. He's covered it all. Now he's a professor, consultant, as well. When it comes to this issue, I mean, we are dealing with a very sick puppy when it came to these Idaho murders. And one of the reasons that I want that I wanted to have him on is because I just want people out there to be aware of your surroundings. Don't always keep your head on a swivel. Maybe it's because I grew up ghetto fabulously. I just, especially you ladies out there, keep your head on a swivel. Always be aware, because you just never know. They didn't expect anything like this in Moscow, Idaho. They hadn't had a murder there in 7 years. That's completely insane here. Okay, Doc, before I go to my next line of questioning, I do want to ask this. It's one of the first questions, or if not the first question, that I asked you on the podcast. And please check out the podcast, SalemPodcastNetwork.com. TheCarlJacksonShow.com. But Doc, how do people like yourself that go into crime scenes like this just stay sane? How do you stomach it? You go and you see, I mean, people that have been murdered and ravaged, and I can't even fathom it. I told you before, I have to turn my head sometimes when I'm watching the first 48. How do you get through something like that and remain professional and calm?
Well, you have to have an extreme focus on the work that you're doing. And I reference that many times especially for homicide detectives. You have to understand that you're representing the community. You're representing the victim's family. And the only person that may know what happened at that crime scene is actually just the suspect, if only one did it, or two suspects, if you don't have any witnesses or don't have any victims that survived. I make the argument that God also knows what's going on. So Amen. Essentially, homicide detectives work for God. They work for the community, and they have to make sure that they find justice. And that's why especially DNA has become such an important tool for law enforcement. Not only has it been important for convictions, but it's also been extremely important for exonerations of those that have been falsely imprisoned in the past. So we've been able to go back and do DNA capabilities to be able to exonerate people who have been imprisoned in the past. So DNA, I think, is one of the probably the most important forensic tool in the history of man. It's not without, you know, understanding constitutional issues associated with the collection of those. And in this particular case, we had an unusual thing, which was called reverse DNA engineering in order to find those DNA. But I think it's important to understand there's always going to be blood, hair, potentially urine, potentially semen at crime scenes. There's going to be fingerprints. There's going to be shoe prints, footprints. And it's important to understand what's called Locard's exchange theory. Locard was a scientist hundreds of years ago, and he basically indicated that a perpetrator of a crime will bring something into a crime scene and leave with something from the crime scene. I also make the argument of anybody who comes into the crime scene that's not the perpetrator is going to do the same thing. So law enforcement, if they're not careful, can bring something into a crime scene and leave with something from it. So that's why we have to pay close attention to cross-contamination. But when you think about, and this is something that's applied, you know, since the first murder occurred.
We have a minute before the break, Doc.
Yeah, we're always going to bring something into the crime scene. And this is where you have to look at all opportunities. You have to look whether or not the suspect stopped and went to the bathroom, whether or not he urinated, whether or not he defecated in the stool. You have to look and see whether or not he used the sinks and potentially cleaned himself, cleaned blood from the gloves. You want to check the traps of the sink to make sure that there's hair fiber or any blood. You want to be able to do what's called luminol, which is being able to look at a black light. It's a solution that you put on the crime scene and you pull up
Hold that thought. Hold that thought, Doc. Hold that thought. We'll be back. We got to take another break. I'm speaking to Dr. Curry Myers about the Idaho murders. We'll be back in a few. Just a couple of quick pieces of news for you. The Buffalo Bills are going to pay DeMar Hamlin in full despite his injury status. I'd do that too if I had forced him to get the jab. And also, senators are promoting, it's the Gang of Eight 2.0. Hat tip to Breitbart. Senators are promoting an amnesty for the illegal aliens on the trip to the U.S.-Mexico border right now. So more on that later. Right now, I want to go back to my guest, Dr. Curry Myers. Again, Dr. Curry Myers, tell people where they can find you again, because I know we have so many breaks. This hour is going to wrap up fast, and I want to make sure that people can get more information from you, follow you, read your work.
Thanks again. I'm on Substack at drcurrymyers.substack.com. That's drcurrymyers.substack.com.
Okay, and now you had mentioned this Locard exchange theory. One of the things that you mentioned that could be found at the crime scene, and this is going to be a little gruesome, guys, but I want you guys to understand the depravity of some human beings that exist. Evil exists. Evil is real. And we need to understand that. And thank God for law enforcement officers and people that get into this field, like Dr. Curry Myers. I personally, it's a calling. I personally could not do it. I could not do it. But I understand that God gives certain people with certain things, and we need law enforcement officers, we need homicide detectives, so on, et cetera, our first responders to be able to respond to crime scenes. Dr. Curry Myers was one of those people for quite some time, and now he teaches on the subject. But one of the things that tripped me out in the interview on the podcast, Doc, was when you were talking about this LaCard exchange theory, you mentioned how even murderers, not necessarily in relation to rape, but sometimes murderers even will masturbate and will leave evidence behind. So this is why you have to look at any nook and cranny, sinks, crevices, all over the place. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. You have to be prepared for anything and be able to look at anything. So anything is a possibility. And when you become a homicide detective, and you have to have patience, it takes incredible patience to be able to work a crime scene. But also you have to be able to think rapidly and quickly, because you have to think about all these potential things that you don't want to overlook. There is a plethora of paraphilic behaviors that there are sexual dysfunctions, sexual deviant dysfunctions, dysfunctions that people have. There's probably 20 different paraphilic behaviors. And anytime you have crimes, you may have a suspect that has one of those particular behaviors that comes out as a result of the crime scene. And so you have to check and see whether or not the suspect may have masturbated either post-mortem, which means after the deaths had occurred, pre-mortem, that means before the deaths have occurred, and you try to track that information to find out a little bit about the psychosocial side of the individual. And then this isn't just necessarily for homicides, but this is a reason why working aggravated burglaries is so important. Aggravated burglary is when somebody breaks into the home when someone is present in the home and generally has a weapon. And there are times where people will break into a home. And even if someone's not present, they'll go through people's belongings, go through, underwear, things like that, and do masturbatory practices while they're in there. So we have some departments, because of a lack of funding and lack of manpower, that are starting not to work on burglaries, especially if it's not aggravated. And the cause for concern with that is that there is a percentage. It's not a large percentage, but there is a percentage of burglaries that actually are a result of sexual dysfunction. And if you continue to commit those, then there's the chance that that person can become more emboldened and it can turn into an aggravated sexual assault or sodomy or a rape.
Which is why defunding the police is a very, very bad idea. Just totally insane. Doc, we talked about how social media nowadays, a lot of people have to be a little more aware of what they're putting on social media, because for no fault of their own, they can attract a stalker. And this, we don't know this to be the case, but this could be the case with this Idaho murderer. Alleged murderer, I'll say.
Correct. I think there's probably going to be more and more information that this person ended up being a stalker. And again, it's all alleged, but there's more and more information that I think we will see come out. If he's serial anything, there's a good chance that he probably was a serial stalker and had done this before and not committed a murder. I'm talking about did some stalking, and stalking can come in the form of many different ways. It can come in constantly. If you know the location of where they live, you can make multiple, deliveries to people's house. You can actually, be someone that does DoorDash or, gets involved in things like that, just so you can try to get close to stalkers. In this particular case, there is information and evidence to show that because of CCTV cameras and cell phone pings from the suspect, that there were multiple times that he drove by this residence prior to the murders. Days, if not weeks, prior to the murders, that shows an indication that not only potentially casing the house to commit the murders and doing some pre-planning. I don't think the murders themselves when they got in was too pre-planned, but he definitely had a pre-plan and stage to arrive at the time that they came in. Remember that they were did not get home until very late at night, early in the morning. And he did have and the suspect did have a mask, did have gloves.
About 20 seconds knife, before the next break.
Did have a knife and had some of these kinds of things. So there was some planning involved then. But I think as he broke into the home, we're going to see the sheath was left to one by one individual, one of the girls that probably
hold it right there, Doc. Target. The sheath and the knife and the other witness that was there. We'll hear that on the other side. We're speaking to Dr. Curry Myers.
The Officer Tatum Show.
Okay, I'm speaking to my guest, Dr. Curry Myers. You can find him at drcurrymyers.substack.com. And we're talking about the Idaho murders. Doc, we only have a few minutes left, so we'll kind of go in rapid fire here, if you don't mind. You were talking about the sheath that was left behind, and then I want to get into how the roommate could have been there in the house at the property and what transpired there likely.
Well, we now know that there was a DoorDash delivery that occurred at the house at 4 a.m., and so the murder now appeared to be shortly after the 4 a.m. time hack. And so the suspect had probably been waiting out there for some time. So that once they got in, they broke in, the person was able to go into one of the bedrooms and the sheath was located next to the knife sheath was located next to one of the victims. That most probably is the one that he had the relationship with. And again, when I talk about relationship, I don't mean mutual relationship, that he personally had the relationship with, because he would have pulled out the knife and left that at the scene by mistake, of course. And there was a fingerprint that was eventually they recovered from that sheath. It's going to be, we don't know some of the forensic pathology examinations that occurred, and we're going to learn more as that comes out. The knife wounds in particular, how many knife wounds, and in particular, what kind of knife wounds that occurred in what location. So there is always the chance that the original intended target is probably would have more knife wounds and maybe even wounds in more personal locations, you know, such as the face and around the face. So and then the other victims that may have been more general, just to get rid of them and kill them. There were two people that were alive that were unaware of the crime scene up until early hours. We now know that one of the victims apparently that did not get killed that was down in the basement did hear some sounds. And you have to understand that they probably were intoxicated. They'd been out late. And so when she came up, she did see a person walk by them down the hall wearing a mask, bushy eyebrows, and walked out of the room. And a lot of people have castigated her for not notifying the police immediately or for them not notifying the police immediately. But you have to understand it would have been incredible trauma to go in and witness some sort of crime scene like that. There's a chance she could have passed out. There's a chance she could have been put into shock. There's also the chance of her being scared.
All right, we have to go. DrCurryMyers.substack.com. Check out my podcast for the full interview, TheCarlJacksonShow.com, SalemPodcastNetwork.com. Thanks, Doc. Really do appreciate it.
Officer Tatum Show.
All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. I can't believe it's the last hour of the program already. You can find me on social media, The Carl Jackson Show, SalemPodcastNetwork.com, where you can check out the podcast or thecarljacksonshow.com. Again, I want to take the time to thank Officer Tatum for allowing me to sit behind his microphone. We've got Lou right here in studio in Orlando. We've got Sean McConnell in my ear. Forgotten Man is out there somewhere. Zach is on the phones. And guys, I do want to encourage you to check out the podcast with Dr. Curry Myers. Unfortunately, just with the time constraints of radio, I wasn't able to cover a lot of the things that we were able to talk about and cover on the podcast. So go to SalemPodcastNetwork.com or TheCarlJacksonShow.com to check out that podcast. But he talked about how the killer was caught, the intricacies of the work that police go through to find the killer, how they can determine what type of knife, what type of gun, you name it, is used. But a knife in this particular situation, what he tells his students when they're interviewing or if they interview serial killers. It's a fascinating interview. And just unfortunately, with the time constraints of radio, we just couldn't get into all of it. But there's much more at the podcast, SalemPodcastNetwork.com, TheCarlJacksonShow.com. Before I get on with the more topics of the day, I want to go back to our caller, Charlene. She's called back. She called in the first hour. She was a little frustrated about what happened or things that she had been hearing about what transpired in the house last week. And what transpired in the house last week was absolutely beautiful. And it was freedom. It's what we should see all the time, in my opinion. But I want to go back to the line. Charlene, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. You've got the mic.
Oh, thank you. You're right. And I learned it because someone quoted me a verse from Talmud or from rabbinic tradition that said, if a decision is made with 100% unanimity, it's not valid. There must be some dissension for the decision to be valid. Otherwise, if it's unanimous, that implies collusion or corruption. And so that made me feel better about what went on in the house. I said it was healthy to have the contention. And the universal votes of the Democrats implies collusion or corruption. So that's what I called to share with you. And one other quick point, I sent an email regarding the book Defending Identity by Natan Sharansky. This is related. Please look up the book Defending Identity by Natan Sharansky. It's not unrelated to contention. Okay. We must stand up and defend identity.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I will check that out. I've not heard of that. But anyway, I appreciate the call, Charlene. And again, we shouldn't be embarrassed about what happened in the house last week. I thought it was absolutely beautiful. I thought it was something that needed to happen for quite some time. And listen, I'm okay with Kevin McCarthy. I'm not a fan of Kevin McCarthy. I'm okay with Kevin McCarthy if there's some handcuffs on him. And frankly, I don't understand why this is an embarrassment. I guess it's an embarrassment because what we're used to is watching or witnessing, and actually not even witnessing, but these backroom deals that go on where we don't get to be a part of the process. We should see how these people fight and debate. It only makes sense. This whole idea to vacate the speakership, that is a Jeffersonian thing. This isn't anything new. It's historical. It's been part of the process for over 200 years. It's amazing to me. But I guess in a sense, the more that I've thought about all of the pushback that these 20 got, the truth is, and I hate to be harsh, but I just got to be blunt. Conservatives are scared to fight. I'm listening to all of the most intellectual, some of the most intellectual conservatives pontificate, and when it comes down to it, a fight is a fight. It looks nasty. It doesn't look like a column. It doesn't look like a research paper. It doesn't look like some edited, whatever thesis. A fight is a fight, and we're fighting for freedom. Oh, well, Matt Gaetz is this, and Lauren Boebert. I heard someone say on Fox, Lauren Boebert barely won her race. Well, she barely won her race because Kevin McCarthy pushed money to a primary challenger. I mean, this stuff is important. That means that Kevin McCarthy, like he did here in Central Florida, was willing to flush conservatives, America first, Trump conservatives, down the drain. You get it? That's who Kevin McCarthy is. Now they handcuffed his behind. Oh, we've got extremists. They're extreme. What's extreme? I don't understand this argument. I've even heard conservatives so-called. Well, we got the extreme faction of the Republican Party. What's extreme? Stopping spending? Making sure that there's no cronyism within the Republican Party as it relates to the House? The Republican Party didn't do anything that the Democrat Party didn't do. Again, I remind you, in 2018, the squad did the same thing to Nancy Pelosi, along with, I believe it was 8 or 9 moderates. They handcuffed Nancy Pelosi and told her she has to leave town in 4 years. We're all sitting here thinking Nancy Pelosi is ready to voluntarily vacate the, you know, the speakership, the leadership, and all. No, I had forgotten. They told her she's got to go. She said those were the conditions they set, and I'm speaking of the squad and some of the newer progressives that came in 2018. They didn't back down. The difference is the Democrats wouldn't let you see their fights on camera. I'm glad we saw our fights on camera because that's what we needed to see. We need to know how to fight. And these people knew how to fight. I don't care about their motives. You got to. When it comes to politics, you got to look at results. Like the left, they have good intentions, but they're destroying the country, right? It's amazing. So we got 7 key reforms. I won't go into great specificity on these. Perhaps I'll do it tomorrow. But controlling spending and taxing, even though that wasn't in the bill, there were some things that we got inside of the rules package. Single issue votes. Major investigations. We got some conservatives on the that are serving as the chairs on some of these committees, which is very important. Legislation has to go through those. Imagine if you have a quote-unquote rhino sitting on one of those committees. And the speaker, you got a moderate in Kevin McCarthy. He goes to his homeboy that's another moderate. What do you think is going to come out of what do you think is going to come out of the House with Kevin McCarthy's leadership with no conservatives on these committees, sitting as chairs on these committees? What they were able to do, Chip Roy, was absolutely phenomenal. I'll be honest with you, in my opinion, it almost made up for the loss. The midterm disaster where we should have a 20-seat majority, but thank God we don't. God works in mysterious ways. If we had a major majority win in the House, I guarantee you Kevin McCarthy would have stacked those chairmanships with a bunch of rhinos. And we would have no say. For those of you extreme, what's extreme? Wanting the rule of law? Wanting to stop excess spending? Wanting the people to be heard rather than the Washington, D.C. mob that exists between the Republicans and Democrats, the Uniparty in Washington, D.C.? What's extreme? Wanting to put a cap on the debt ceiling? What's extreme? Wanting a border fence? I don't get it. They talk about these people as extreme. What's extreme? It's the left that's extreme. They're the ones killing babies. They're the ones that want open borders. They're the ones that want to make the military woke. They're the ones that are teaching equity in schools and destroying our educational system. They're extreme. We're not extreme. We're Americans. It's as simple as that. Those of us that are on the right, we believe in America. Those that are on the left do not. It's really a simple fight. The question is, are you up for the fight? And we saw that last week, at least 20 Republicans were. Now, I know Jim Jordan is a good one. I know MTG is a good one. But we got about 10% of conservatives that are actually up for a fight, to fight for us. That's what we found out last week.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, ladies, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I am currently testifying in an expert witness trial, and Carl Jackson got you covered, ladies and gentlemen. Show Carl Jackson some love. Thank you, Carl, for taking over. Let's get into this.
All right, thank you, Officer Tatum. The number to call in, 844-900-7243. Guys, I want to talk to you about MyPillow. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it at home, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow towels, towels that actually work. I know it sounds mind-blowing, towels that actually dry you. Their six-piece towel set includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with the promo code Brandon. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the radio listener special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty, a 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on a six-piece set off MyPillow towels, just go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special, and enter the promo code Brandon or call 800-976-8379. How dare those extremists to actually give us 72 hours to read a bill? Freaking extremists! Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Guys, we got a victory. Let's celebrate. We didn't get one in the midterms. We just got one. Let's celebrate. I don't care what the biggest names in on TV and I don't care. Listen, I'm fighting with you. I'm fighting with you. I'm just an average, common man, and I'm fighting with you. I'm on your side. That's the way that I view it. That's the way that I view it. To me, these 20 were heroes. I heard someone say on air earlier. Well, it was shameful how these 20, they had some negotiations in good faith or something like that, but then they wanted more. Thank you. Thank you, you 20 heroes, for wanting more, that realizing that now was the time to make the establishment bow down and finally listen to the people. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Chip Roy, Matt Gaetz, Lauren Boebert, Dan Bishop, the whole 20 of them. I love you. Thank you for having the courage, whatever your motivations, to stand. Thank you. I appreciate you. Even if other conservatives don't get it because they got their fat paychecks, they've made it. So frustrating. It's so frustrating. Don't even recognize a win. Don't even recognize a win. God, you can't even count on conservatives all the time anymore. So-called. Unfreaking believable. All right, anyway, let me get back to the issue of Joe Biden, the mob boss that lives in the White House. But I want to play some audio clips for you. This was Byron Donalds. I wanted to play this in hour number one. Only the president can declassify classified documents. Here's Representative Byron Donalds of Florida. Audio clip number seven, por favor, Sean.
I'm wondering why the vice president of the United States had classified documents outside of the hands of the intelligence community. Listen, it's been pretty clear that presidents do have some classified documents. But the difference between a president and everybody else is the president has the ability to declassify information. The vice president has no ability to declassify information. So number one, what was he doing with classified information in his possession? Number two, why did it take 6 years? And I want to stress this for the American people. Joe Biden left the vice presidency in 2017. So it's taken 6 years for these documents to surface. That is incredibly concerning. And point number three, and this is the one that's most important. Everybody can go back to the Hillary Clinton email saga. We know other presidents have had classified information. But why was there a raid on Mar-a-Lago? But now this story just kind of seeps out and everybody's saying, oh, we just want to get down to the bottom of it. And everybody's giving the benefit of the doubt. A vice president of the United States or a secretary of state or anybody else should not be having classified information, period.
Thank you. Thank you, Byron Donalds. One of the 20 that stood, by the way. One of the 20 that stood up for you and I got to be this guy has. I wasn't sure about Byron Donalds, I'll be honest, but I think he's gotten better. He moved from the state house right here in Florida to the National Congress. And the guy's been phenomenal, in my opinion. I would have loved to see him have become the Speaker of the House. But I understand Kevin McCarthy is good with the rules. He knows the ins and outs. But now there's going to be some accountability in the speakership. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Now, Joseph Biden, Byron Donalds had an excellent point. What was Joe Biden doing with classified information? He wasn't the president when he had that classified information. What was he doing with it? Did former President Barack Obama know about it? I'm curious. I'm curious. Here, this guy has the media is trying to frame it. Oh, he had a few pieces of classified information, like 10 documents, or, you know, it's just 10. Ukraine, Iran. We know that he was Russia. We know that he was corrupt. He and his son as all get out. 10. What 10? What was on them? There could be classified. I don't know. There could be stuff that's really just in the weeds and minuscule and just a bunch of minutia. And then there can be classified with, nuclear codes or locations of some of our special forces or something. You know, who knows what Joe Biden had? The point is, he shouldn't have had it. And it was unlawful, as far as I know, for him to have it. 844-900-7243 is the number to call into the program. 844-900-7243. Here's some questions. Hat tip, Justin News. Thank you for that, man. That could be asked. Are there any other documents missing from Biden's government document collection from his time as VP? Are there any other locations, insecure or secure, where Biden might have kept sensitive government secrets? I don't know. I want to know in his mind, state of mind, has he dropped any when he's out walking his dog or something? Did the government delay notifying the public for political or other purposes, such as sparing Biden from criticism or to keep voters in the dark before election day? You really have to wonder about that, don't you? Isn't it fascinating how we don't get this news? Byron Donalds mentioned 6 years later, but not just 6 years later. When we do get the news, it's always after the election. Democrats are finding the truth out about Hunter Biden, not only just years later, but after an election cycle. It's fascinating how that always seems to happen. CNN is out reporting. CNN is all of a sudden becoming relevant again. They're out reporting the news. They're honest journalists taking on Biden, though they haven't done it for years. University of Pennsylvania received extensive Chinese funding, estimated in some media reports. And after the time Biden announced his policy think tank was going to be a part of the university's Washington program. Republicans who hemmed and hawed about this, and rightfully so. Several quotes from several people. The National Archives, someone directly familiar with the case, said the National Archives asked the DOJ to open up an investigation in November. Zero, zilch, nada. DOJ didn't listen. You think they're going to now? We'll be back. Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. Again, the number to call in, 844-900-7243. 844-900-7243. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in for the Officer Tatum. I will be back with you tomorrow night and the night following as well. So I look forward to that. So much stuff that I won't be able to get to tonight. But we are talking about Biden and this whole situation with the National Archives. I'm going to make a prediction that the DOJ, the FBI, are not going to raid any of Biden's residencies. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to make that prediction, seeing as though Merrick Garland seems to obey Biden. I don't think anything like that is going to happen. But this is what I'm talking about. We've got to be confrontational conservatives. We've got to be willing to call this stuff out. We've got to be willing to share this stuff with family members, social media, wherever we can. Get this news out. Get this information out. A lot of people are saying this will nullify this case that the federal government is bringing against Trump and Mar-a-Lago. They don't care. They don't care. They'll find something to say to make this revelation about Joe Biden being the vice president and unlawfully having classified material compared to Trump, who lawfully had a classified or declassified material since he was the president of the United States. And that was his prerogative to do so. They'll figure out some way to spin this. They'll figure out some way to shove it underneath the surface. They'll figure it out. Maybe they'll just drop this subject entirely altogether and hope that you forget. The left is crafty like that. The left is crafty like that. That's just who that's just who they are. I do want to play this flashback for you. This is Joe Biden talking about Trump in regards to the. Classified documents. Here's Joe Biden, audio clip number 3, por favor, Sean.
When you saw the photograph of the top secret documents laid out on the floor at Mar-a-Lago, what did you think to yourself looking at that image?
How that could possibly happen? How anyone could be that irresponsible? And I thought, what data was in there that may compromise sources and methods? By that, I mean names of people who helped, or et cetera. And it's just totally irresponsible.
Yeah, totally irresponsible, says the vice president who stole classified documents he didn't have the authority to take. Absolutely amazing, but that's who he is. I want you to hear this audio clip of actually a couple that I want to play for you real quick. These are just real good cuts, and I want to make sure I get to them before moving on. Lauren Boebert last week, a lot of people can't stand her. I heard some Fox News personalities scold her. You know, this is personal. This is I don't care why Lauren Boebert did it. I don't care why Matt Gaetz did it. I care that they had the courage to stand, and they've given us freedoms. And I'll share a story with you about the Biden officials are now trying to ban gas stoves. I'll explain why another reason why the rules changes are so important as it relates to this particular story. But here's Lauren Boebert, congresswoman from Colorado, whom I love for standing up and being a hero for the common man. Audio clip number 5, Papa Washington.
It's all your fault.
Apparently, that's usually what the Democrats like to say. But this empowers every individual member of Congress, even the Democrats. That single member motion to vacate is for them as well. These single subject legislation pieces that we're going to see, this is something that we have in 47 state legislatures. To have it on a federal level is massive. So I'm proud that we took a few extra days to make sure that we get this right. It may look like chaos and dysfunction, but I'm a mom of 4 boys. That's a part of my everyday life. And really, last week was the most productive week I have experienced in Congress.
The most productive week she's experienced in Congress, and she's not lying. Single bills. Something conservatives have been asking for and demanding for years. With the help of 20 others, Lauren Boebert accomplishes that. And she's an extremist. And she's got corrupt motives, even from the mouths of Republicans. We're suffering from Stockholm syndrome. God sakes, this is a victory. All right, when we get back, this stove ban, I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about the SATs. We need to make sure that they stay around. We'll be back, or the SATs. All right, welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. I'm your guest host, Carl Jackson, sitting in. You can check me out on social media. The Carl Jackson Show is where you can find me. Instagram, Twitter, you name it. A lot of stuff going on at Twitter. I love the way Twitter is operating right now. Getter is another place. Anywhere that I am on social media, True Social, you can find me there. The Carl Jackson Show. Check out my podcast, SalemPodcastNetwork.com. The Carl Jackson Show. Before I move on, let's go to a caller real quick. Kenny is in Fremont, California. He wants to talk about the documents that Biden had. Kenny, welcome to the Officer Tatum Show. You've got the mic.
Thank you, Carl. You know,
I love the job you do. You get it more than any other Salem host, in my opinion. But
thank you.
The documents that Joe Biden took, he didn't have the authority to take those. Obama would have, but Joe Biden didn't. The documents that Trump took, he had the authority to take. And I don't get it why the mainstream media doesn't put this together, but they are against the American people. They really are.
You know what, Kenny, you're absolutely right, and thank you for the call. I've been saying this for quite some time. This is a battle we're facing of the have and the have nots. It may sound kooky, but there are really evil people out there. World Economic Forum, the Bill Gates of the world. All of these people that really want to reign from on high, and we're just the peons. We're a little social experiment. That's all we are to many of these people. I didn't get to it today. I'll talk about it tomorrow. Some of the revelations that are coming out, thanks to the reporting, the Twitter files with Elon Musk. Alex Berenson has taken on the latest. He's been reporting in his Substack how a Pfizer board member was literally having communications with the Twitter executives on who to curtail, what speech to curtail when it came to the jabs. I mean, it just absolutely insane stuff. So we'll get into that tomorrow. I mean, just crazy town. But there are really people out there. When you have people that are void of God, everybody's got to worship something. Everybody wants some type of purpose. And you get these people that are sick, these lefties, these Klaus Schwabs of the world, these Bill Gates, in my opinion, of the world. The Joe Bidens of the world. And they want this elite class, and they want to make us just a bunch of peons. Now, just real quick here, and then I'm going to get onto this SAT thing. I want to make sure that I touch on this. I didn't get an opportunity to touch on Tucker Carlson. Insider emails prove our efforts to censor Tucker Carlson came from the White House. That's what you call, what Dinesh D'Souza would call a gangster government, calling it the Democrat mob. That's what they are. Joe Biden is a mob boss. It's as simple as that. Hat tip for God, man. This from Fox Business. Gas stove ban on the table for a federal agency. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission is considering a ban on gas stoves as concerns surrounding indoor air pollutants from the appliances continue to rise, this according to reports. Pause. Who the hell is the Consumer Product Safety Commission to tell me I can't have a gas stove? See, this... this is the problem. I hear a lot of people often say, man, we need more regulation. We need more regulation. See, we have representatives in D.C. that are supposed to work for us. It isn't supposed to be the Consumer Product Safety Commission, Joe Biden putting all these lefties and these freaking fascists inside of these agencies. And then they're just reigning from on high. They're bypassing the legislature. I'm going to get to why the fight last week was so important with the specific rule that I think can combat this. Bloomberg reported that the agency plans to act on the appliances because the pollutants can cause respiratory and health issues. I want to, like the jabs. Quote, this from Richard Tromka, the agency commissioner. This is a hidden hazard, he says. Any option is on the table. Products that can't be made safe can be banned. Did any of you vote for Richard Trumka Jr.? Roughly 35% of homes in the U.S. have gas stoves that, according to reports, release carbon monoxide, nitrogen dioxide, and other matter that the World Health Organization and the EPA deemed unsafe because they can potentially cause cardiovascular problems, cancer, and other health conditions. Not like mining for the batteries or components of batteries for EVs, right? After testing gas ranges and finding elevated levels of nitrogen gases, Consumer Reports strongly advised people to consider buying electric ranges rather than gases, the ones that you have to make with coal. These people are, they're mobsters. They're not hypocrites. They're not hypocrites, guys. These people are straight up thugs. These people are straight up mobsters. And the 20 people that fought, and I know there's some others within the 200 or so that got it. Jim Jordan is definitely one of them. MTG is definitely one of them. She's already out and saying, hey, it's time to impeach Biden over having classified information as the vice president. He's not lawfully allowed to have. Okay, so let me, you guys heard of the Holman rule, right? So this guy, Richard Trumka Jr., who no one voted for, with the rules that have been put in place, thanks to the 20, there's a Holman rule, which says, okay, some of these little wannabe dictators that run these agencies for Biden or for the radical left, whomever is handling Biden, these people can basically be fired. Or what you can do is say, hey, Richard Trumka Jr., that's really stupid. So we're only going to pay you $1 if you want to stay in that position. Do you want to stay or do you want to go? These people don't have any power, or they shouldn't have power. Thanks to the House, thanks to those 20 that fought for you and I, we now have the power to do that. But they're the extremists. They're the extremists. They were the crazy ones. They didn't have a plan. Except apparently they did, because we got concessions that gave power back to we the people.
This is the Officer Tatum Show. Keeping it real.
Welcome back to the Officer Tatum Show. The number to, well, actually, we're about to check out here, but I appreciate you tuning in. Again, check out my podcast, SalemPodcastNetwork.com, TheCarlJacksonShow.com. Still a lot that I wanted to get to. I'll be back tomorrow, so we'll get to some of it. The story about what's happening with the SAT, I think, is a really, really important story. Hat tip to this gentleman, Freddie DeBoer, that wrote the article, Don't Blame SATs for American Inequality. We'll get into that tomorrow. I hope to get wanted to get to it tonight. But I think it's really, really important. And it goes along with a story about Lovie Smith, the Texans coach that was just recently fired. Hat tip, forgotten man. This is from The Blaze. Jason Whitlock wrote this. Texans coach, I love Jason Whitlock. Texans coach Lovie Smith, latest black victim of diversity, inclusion, and equity cult. I'll just give you some of the snippets of this. Jason Whitlock writes, shotgun marriages don't work, especially in modern America. We have too many options, too much easily accessible temptation to stick with a marriage we don't believe in. Ask the Houston Texans. Yesterday, they ended their second straight shotgun marriage hours after completing the regular season. It's been a couple of days now. Divorcing themselves from head coach Lovie Smith less than a year after hiring him. And let me say for the record, I absolutely love Lovie Smith. I remember that Super Bowl with he and Tony Dungy where they participated, and he was the coach of the Chicago Bears at the time. Jason Whitlock goes on to write, when you're a billionaire, it's not cheaper to keep her. The NFL makes all of its employees sign a prenuptial agreement, he writes, a contract that limits the divorce settlement. Cal McNair, the owner of the Texans, would rather cut Smith a $15 to $20 million check rather than continue in a relationship he doesn't believe has a real future. The Texans did the exact same thing a year ago when they decided to annul their marriage to David Coley, another coach they wed quickly with no real conviction. I'll get in tomorrow night why stories like this will pop up as long as equity exists. And I do believe that Lovie Smith, he was a really good coach at one time. For whatever reason, he's not had the success in the NFL. He didn't have the success that many had hoped for on the college level. He's proved at one time that he could do it. I don't know if this was just a bad situation for Lovie Smith. But tomorrow when I come back, I'm going to talk about how this social justice, equity, and inclusion is plays into this and how it's destroying America. It's really, really important. So we'll tie that in with the SATs, but plenty to talk about tomorrow. How much time do we have here, Sean? So, all right. So plenty to talk about tomorrow. Until next time, guys, don't grow weary doing good. God bless you. Hey, Alfred and Gloria, thank you for the Christmas gift. Stop by the station. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
This is the Officer Tatum Show.
What's going on, y'all? This is Brandon Tatum. I just want to thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can always get the podcast at Salem Podcast Network or wherever you listen to your podcast.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.